together.
We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every teacher under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. So when we come, we gather together. We call this church. Hartford City Church began just a year ago. We're celebrating our year anniversary by the grace of God. And we came together to be something new, to be something different, to be a place where everyone can feel like they belong. So I think it's good if I just take a moment at the beginning and just preface this whole message by saying, what exactly is a church? Because when you say church, people have all different kinds of ideas and pictures and things that come into their head, right? About what the church is. But you need to know that in this passage, one of the words that we get the word church from was used for one of the very first times. When Anthony read that Christ is the head of the body and is the head of the church, people look at it and go, that word is strange, that word is weird. It's ecclesia. It's a word that we haven't yet seen in relation to this thing. And what the word meant was it was an assembly of people. It was a gathering of people. That's what the assembly, the ecclesia, the church was. It was never a word that was used for a building. Never. Amen. It was never a word that was used for an organization. It was never even a word that was used for a movement. But rather it was a word that when people gathered together for a common purpose to discuss what was going to happen in their city, or in their country, or in their family, when they gather together, the assembly, that is the church. So Christ might be properly said to be the leader of the assembly, the one who calls people together, the one who gathers people together for a common purpose, which is his purpose. And that's simply all the church is when we get together. Is when we get together, then that's what church is. Really is. So we can get together in here, and it's great to get together in here, but we can get together out there, or we can get together anywhere, right? When we come together, when we hang out together, when we begin to just be together with Jesus, that's what church is all about. And that's what life is all about. You see, people think church is disconnected from life, and that's what's happened. Because as I'm going to talk about today, there's a lot of disconnection, there's a lot of division, right? There's a lot of that in our world. But in Christ, all of the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, everything gets drawn together, gets fitted together, gets put into its proper and vibrant and beautiful place, all because of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of Jesus. That's the only reason that we gather, is because of Jesus Christ. There are other things that we do, but it's about Jesus Christ. There are other things we could say, but we want to say the words of Jesus Christ. There's other things we can do, but we want to live the life that Jesus has given us to live, because it's the only thing that's going to bring any hope. It's the only thing that's going to change. And if you don't believe me, just see what's being tried, what's being worked on, what's being promoted, what's being presented in this world, and tell me, how's it working? How well is it working? And people that have operated in the name of Jesus, under the name of Jesus, are in danger of having taken his name in vain, because they are not representing him or his plans or his purpose or his heart or his love. So don't be confused sitting here in this day and age and what I'm talking about with maybe some of the shallow and imperfect expressions. But I want to lift our minds. I want to lift our spirits. I want to lift us to a higher plane of understanding this morning about Jesus Christ. So let's begin right here, shall we? Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Historians have looked at Jesus Christ. And what they find, first of all, is that not a whole lot was written about him by the historians of the day. You know, as far as among the world leaders and the movers and shakers at that time, there wasn't a whole lot written other than what his followers wrote. And what we have is a tremendous amount of material that survived the material about anybody else during that time. But they look at Jesus and they say, what is he? Well, some say he was a political revolutionary. They say, yes, that's what he was. He was a political revolutionary. He brought about, he spoke against the Roman Empire. He did this, he did that. Other people say, nah, he was just kind of a regional guy. He was in Galilee. So we'll call him the Galilean charismatic holy man. That's what he was. He was the Galilean charismatic holy man, you know. And he just kind of stirred people up a little bit. The Jews looked at him and said, he's just another wannabe Messiah. Just another one trying to claim to be our leader, trying to claim to be our savior. He's just a wannabe Messiah. Other people said, no, he's a countercultural crusader. You know, he wanted to establish this new culture. And some historians looked at him and said, he's just a wandering peasant. He's just this poor guy that wandered around for a while, and you know, that's about it. But what's funny is that each historian that writes about Jesus ends up looking a lot like them. Jesus ends up looking a lot like the people that write about him, because that's what we do, right? We want to create Jesus in our own image. So if you like Jesus looking all nice and happy with his beard and walking around in a robe and holding a lamb, right? We create that Jesus because that's what we want to see. That reminds us of something that we want. Or if we want to see Jesus with a beret and a revolutionary and looking like Shay, you know, we just want to say, yeah, that's Jesus, you know. He's power. We create Jesus in our own image. And we create God in our own image, because that's what we do. From the beginning of time, it's called idols. We create gods. We try to explain things we can't explain in our own terms. And we create God in images that we know and see in animals and in things and in people. And our gods end up looking a lot like us. But Jesus Christ doesn't look anything like that when you truly understand who he is. Oh, there are pieces of that. These are crumbs of the image of Jesus. But in this beautiful, poetic hymn of the early church, it tells us that Jesus is the very image of God. And the first thing that Jesus is the image of God. And the image is the glory of God. It's not just like he's a picture of God that represents it, you know, because if I, you know, whip out my phone and I show you a picture of my wife, that's not my wife. She's sitting right there, right? But the image of my wife is actually what I see. That is the image. That is her. So to say that Jesus is the image of God, he is how we see God. And as the image of God, he is the glory of God. He is the glory of God. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the glory of almighty heaven and earth come down in human form. And everything we see about Jesus is the glory of God. And if God is love, which we know that he is, then Jesus is love in action. He is God in action. So Jesus is the image of God, the glory of God, and he is pure, 100% perfect love in action. That's who Jesus is. He's the image of God. But it goes on to tell us there's more. There's more. Jesus is not just the image of God and the glory of God and love and action, but Jesus is the creator of everything that we see, of everything that exists. ever have or ever will. Jesus is the creator of all things. As we said last week, Jesus is that word that was in the beginning, that word that speaks and everything into existence. Jesus is the creator of all things. And we proclaim to people, it doesn't matter what you believe about how all things were created, because you have the freedom to believe in a lot of different ways that things can be created. But know that whatever you believe about how things were created, Jesus was there. However it did happen to happen, Jesus was there making it happen. It says that all things were created by Jesus, and all things were created for Jesus, and that includes you sitting here today. You were created for Jesus Christ. That is the reason that you exist. You were created by Jesus Christ and created for Jesus Christ. That means you are not an accident. That means you are not here without a purpose. That means you are not alone. You are not unloved. But you have someone who cared enough to put you together. He cared enough to bring you in. He looked at you and said, I'm going to give you that color hair. I'm going to give you those eyes. I'm going to give you that little bit of an attitude. I'm going to give you that humorous spirit. I'm going to give you that peace that just brings peace to other people. Jesus said, I love it. I love it. I'm going to put it together. And all we have to do to look at what he's created is say, God creates a beautiful diversity, right? Amen. See, diversity for me, and I hope for us, it's not just a term. It's not just something to do because it's popular or cool or even because it's important, which I believe it is. But it's because it's God. It's God. God is so big. God has created all things. And if you look around at what he's created, it's beautifully diverse. It's all colors, all shapes, all sizes. That is the God that we serve. All forms of art, all forms of music, everything created by God. Everything finds its beginning in God. And not was created by him, but we created for him. But not only is he the image of God and the glory of God in love and action, and not only is he the creator of all things, including you and me, he is the sustainer of all things. For it says that in Christ, all things are held together, which means that not only were you created, not only were you designed, but you got up this morning because of Jesus Christ. And you need to realize it's because of Jesus Christ that you were able to enjoy whatever you enjoyed this morning. Be it your juice or your cup of coffee or whatever you're having, okay? You were able to enjoy life this morning because of Jesus Christ. That he gives you the breath. He gives you the energy. He gives you the things that are in your life, and you need to know that. You need to know that he is so big and so amazing and so above and beyond that he not only creates you, but he sustains you and he holds all things together. In fact, he's given you, for better, for worse, your families. He's given you the people that are around you. In fact, I know today that Jesus has given you somebody that loves you.
Amen.
In fact, I want you to right now look at someone that loves you. Just look at them and give thanks to God. Because God has given you somebody that loves you, right? He has. He's given you. Go ahead. Look at him. You need to know that. You say, well, that person, Jesus gave you to love me. Amen. Praise Jesus, right? He gave you. Look at each other. Look, there you go. And what I want to tell you is if you have no one in this room that loves you, if you have no one in your life that loves you, then welcome to Hartford City Church. Yeah. This is your home. You will be loved. You will be loved. By the grace of God, we set out to be a place where everyone is loved, where everyone is served, where everyone is welcome, where everyone has a place to belong. By the grace of God, that's what we're doing. 1 year now, our year anniversary. We're going to have our year birthday party this Saturday. You're all invited. You got to sign up. Sign up with Jasmine, our drummer. You got to sign up. We want you to come this Saturday night to our 1 year birthday party. It's going to be here in Hartford at the Polish Hall. It's going to be food and dancing and celebration. But most of all, we want you all to come because this is a place for all of you to belong. That's why we want you to be there. That's why we want to get together and be together as much as we can. Because we want to create a community where we love all, serve all, and welcome all. And it's Jesus that holds this all together. Amen? So he's not only the creator of us and the sustainer of us, he's the creator of us as an assembly, as a gathering of people called Hartford City Church. He created us, but he sustains us, and he holds us together. And it's important, friends, important that we know that Jesus holds all things together. Because we live in very troubled times. We live in times where things are broken and where things are falling apart and getting further and further apart. But you need to know that Jesus is big enough to hold all things together.
Amen.
And when your life feels like it's falling apart, You need to know that Jesus, the image and glory of God, Jesus Christ, who is love in everything he says and does, Jesus Christ created you and your life. Jesus Christ sustains you, and even in your life, he will hold all things together because his hands are that big. They really are that big. But there's one more thing I want to tell you about Jesus before we move on, amen? Not only is he the image of God, not only is he the creator of life, the sustainer of life, he is the Lord over everything. And that means that Jesus is in charge. Like Anthony read, Jesus towers far above everything. He's above every power. He's above every authority. Even all of the angels, even the devil, even the demons, all the authority and power that you can imagine in this earth, get all the world leaders and put them together, and they can't even touch the shoe of Jesus Christ. And you need to know how far above he is in power and authority over everything that happens. So I just got to say, is there any one person that can really mess us up? Everybody's all upset, right? Because one person could take us down. One person could ruin our country. I'm sorry, but you put all the world leaders together and give them all the power and all the plans and add in the angels and add in the demons and add in Satan himself, and they could come up with a plan that Jesus could just snap and say, nope, it's over. It's done. It's it. Because he is in charge and Lord over everything. Everything. And because we see things in this world that are not right, because we see injustice, because we see that things are broken and separated and dislocated, some in this world, and we understand this, I understand this, I am included in that some, have said, well, then there must be no God, because no God would allow this mess to happen. Or if there is a God, he must not care. He must not really be in charge, because if he was in charge and if he cared, then he would fix all of this for us. And I understand that feeling, but that feeling doesn't negate the fact that someone is in charge. Because if someone is in charge, if someone was in authority, then they're in authority, right? It doesn't matter whether I understand or whether I like what they say, right? Someone is in charge, and you need to know that. Because if no one's in charge, we're all in a big bunch of trouble. But Jesus Christ is in charge. And we need to know that. Even though we don't understand it, even though we don't like it, we need to know that someone's in charge, right? Because we need to know that when things get crazy, when things get all messed up, all right? I'm going to be real with you for a moment. I'm going to take this chance. You know, sometimes as a leader is being in charge of people, I haven't always done a good job. I'm just going to confess that, okay? So when I was a youth pastor and I was leading teenagers, you know, on trips, and we would go to camps and retreats and things, we had a little bit of a reputation. And I'm going to admit, it wasn't always the best reputation, okay? I had a group that liked to really mess with other people and try to keep them up all night and play pranks and do that kind of stuff. And I was their leader, right? So, you know, I mean, that's it. So I remember one time we were at this camp, and my kids were keeping all the other kids in the camp up all night. And they were getting frustrated, and the leaders were getting frustrated. And this guy comes bursting into our room. You know, we had the lights off. We were all pretending we were asleep. And he said, who's in charge? And I was quiet. I didn't want to answer for a minute. And finally I said, I am. And he probably didn't understand why I was in charge. He probably didn't like the fact that I was in charge. But at that moment, he just needed to know that there was someone in charge. And there was. For better, for worse, I was there. For better, for worse, we have a Lord over this universe. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's like parents with children, right? Children won't always understand what you say to them. They won't always like what you say to them. But they have been given authority over you for a while. And that's just the way it is. And we may not like what God does, and we may not understand what God does, but that doesn't mean he's not in charge. Because he isn't dependent upon how we feel about it. It's dependent upon the fact the one that existed before all creation, the one that created all things, the one that sustained all things, the one that is the image of the one and only true God, the one is the 100% pure love, he's in charge. And he is over everything, and he rules over everything. Jesus is the Lord. He is the image of God, the creator of life. He holds all things together, and he is Lord. There's nobody like Jesus. He is truly the one and only. He is so far above, towering far above everything else. You can't even compare anything to Jesus. People like to talk about who is the greatest of all time. There's no discussion when it comes to Jesus. I mean, he is so far above. Take all of the best leaders in the world that you can think of. You know, from Gandhi to Martin Luther King Jr., you know, think of any great leaders in history that you want to think of. You know, put them all together. Rosa Parks, Marie Curie, put them all together. And they can't even touch how great Jesus is. He's so far above, so much greater. I'm trying to lift your mind to a different place, you understand? Because we're trying to understand this Jesus Christ on our level, and he's nowhere near our level. It'd be like trying to compare me to Michael Jordan. Amen. I mean, so far above, so different. How do you explain that? How do you comprehend that? You know? It's like comparing a candle to the sun. I mean, when you're in the darkness, the candle looks pretty good. When things are dark, when that's all you've got, that candle is good, and that candle can look pretty bright, and that candle can be pretty amazing in a dark room. But step outside into the full light of the sun, and what does that candle become? Nothing. Nothing. It cannot compare to the sun. You can't even touch the sun. You can't even get near the sun. We can't even comprehend how the sun is even there, how it even exists, how it's even staying up in the sky, how big it is, how powerful it is. And take that times a million. Times a billion. And you'll understand how far above what we can know and understand is God, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ towers far above every single thing that we can know or imagine or think. He's greater than what's created or than even what we can imagine.
Amen.
And create. He is greater. He is bigger. He is stronger. He is in charge. He has all of that power. He's so much bigger than we think. So that's who Jesus is. But the poem also tells us what Jesus does. And what does Jesus do? What does it say Jesus does? This all-powerful, all-love, creator, sustainer, Lord over everything. What does he do? It says he brings all things together. That's what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ is a gatherer. Jesus Christ is a collector. Jesus Christ is a collaborator. Jesus Christ is one who brings things together. Jesus Christ is the one who is taking all of the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. And that's my favorite part. That's the part of the verse I want to focus on. And we'll put it back up on the screen as well. Jesus takes all of the broken and dislocated things of the universe and he fits them together in vibrant harmonies. That's what Jesus Christ does, is he bring things. We call it, that's why we call it renewing, restoring. He's reconciliation, bringing things that were apart, bringing them back together, helping them find their proper place, helping them be fit. You see, Jesus did not come to judge and destroy, but he came to renew and to restore. Amen? Jesus did not come to judge and destroy, but he came to renew and to restore. And Jesus said, there's a time for things. There was a time to be scattered. There was a time when God scattered people across the face of the earth. But when Jesus came, he said, it's a new time. And in this new time, it's about gathering. There may be some things that God needed to do, but now there's some new things that God wants to do. And Jesus comes, and the move of Jesus is to bring together. And wherever you see things coming together in love, that's Jesus.
Amen.
The things that divide, that separate us, that's not Jesus. That's not what he's doing. Because I kind of believe that when it says all things, that it really means all things. Because we're broken. We live in a broken world.
Amen.
We know from the creation story, from Genesis in the Hebrew scriptures. Genesis, the stories of beginnings, of the beginning of life. That things are broken. That humans decided we're not going to submit to Jesus. Or God who created us, who sustains us, who rules over us. We'll do our own thing, thank you very much. And we'll live life our own way. And we'll follow our own desires and our own plans. And what it did is it broke everything. Obviously, the relationship with God was broken. We were separated from God. But between Adam and his wife, between men and women, it was broken. And we live in a world of broken relationships between men and women, between the genders. And it broke the relationship between humans and the animals and humans and the earth. And the earth has suffered because of the brokenness. The creation has suffered because of the brokenness that came into the world. And then even the first two brothers, one killed the other. Our relationships between each other as brothers or between sisters as sisters is broken. It's broken. All of our relationships, every connection that we have in life is broken.
Amen.
And we feel disconnected, and we feel dislocated, and we feel like we don't know where we belong, and that we don't have a place, and that's the world we live in. And Jesus Christ, who is above everything, comes and says, "Let me bring it together." Amen?
Amen.
Now is the time of the gathering. Now is the time of the harvest. Now is the time to bring together. Now is the time to come together. Now is the time to join together. And that is the move of Jesus Christ. And that's the move we're a part of. And I gotta believe that there's tons of people who are desperate for that kind of movement in a world where everything is driving us apart and dividing us further and further and leaving us without hope and without God in this world. But Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ comes. And of all of his majesty, glory, and power, he brings all things together. That's who he is. That's what he does. But my next point is, how does he do it? He tells us exactly how he does it. And it's strange. It's not something we understand at first. It's like a true artist, you know, that's putting something together. It looks kind of crazy at first, and you're not sure how it's going to come together. But then suddenly it comes together, and you're like, whoa, this just came together, you know. Any kind of thing that we build and create, right? It starts out as pieces, right? It starts out as parts. If you're going to build a building, you know, I mean, if you break everything down, it all starts with little parts, right? Nails and wood and paint and pieces of metal. I mean, it all starts as parts. But what happens is they come together. And when they come together and you stare, I mean, I don't know if you, just think about that for a minute. Think about the huge buildings that you see, like in New York City, you know, a huge skyscraper. At one point, that was all just parts. It was all just pieces. It was just pieces. Each little piece, right? Each little piece. But somehow it came together, it was brought together and fit together in beautiful, vibrant harmonies, each thing in its own place, so that it became something magnificent. And Jesus Christ has taken all of the broken, the dislocated pieces of the universe, including you and me. And he's bringing us all together. And how does he do it? The poem says, by his blood that was shed on the cross. You see, Jesus comes not in power, but in weakness. Jesus does the ultimate, like, flip. We're not expecting this. We're not expecting someone that I just described to come and be almost unrecognizable, you know, as a peasant, as a wanderer, as a holy man, as a preacher, as a teacher, as maybe some kind of revolutionary, maybe some kind of leader, but certainly not what we would expect from what I just described. But Jesus comes in humility. He comes to die on a cross. And you know what it means by the blood on the cross? The blood on the cross is this. Blood represents death by violence in that culture. Jesus came and died a violent death. And we know people today are suffering violent deaths even as we speak. But Jesus came not in power to destroy, but he came and he was the victim of a violent death. And the cross represented in that culture, the cross, the picture of the cross, it represents humiliation and shame. So he was the victim of a violent death in the most humiliating and shameful way that could be imagined. I mean, he was one of those who was accused. It was the scandal of grace. Why do you think we sang that song, friends? Because of the truth that it contains, the scandal of God's grace is that he was murdered on that cross. Accused, but yet innocent of wrong. Never sinned without blame or stain or blemish, but he took all of that on himself.
Thank you, Jesus.
For us.
Thank you.
For us. For love. Because he said, listen, if you want to understand who this great, almighty, magnificent, glorious, wonderful, beyond comprehension, unprecedented, unparalleled, unknowable, mysterious, unchanging, forever true God, then you need to know what love really is. And when you know what love really is, it's laying down your life for the sake of those that you love. And he sacrificed, he gave it all, he died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead to show us you don't have to be afraid of death. Because we know the most powerful thing is death. Every authority in our world is going to die, right? Every authority is going to come to an end. There is no dictator, there is no leader, there is no president, there is no authority humanly that can live forever. They will come to an end, some sooner than others. That's all I'm going to say by the grace of God. But Jesus Christ showed us that he lives forever. He said, I will rise from the dead so you don't have to fear death. Your sins can be forgiven. You can receive new life. You can be empowered by the very Spirit that empowers me to create all things and to sustain all things and to take all of the broken and dislocated things and to bring them together and fit them together in beautiful and vibrant harmonies. That's what my death on the cross is going to do. And that's how I'm going to do it. And that is the message that Paul, who brought that poem into his letter, Paul who crafted those words together that Anthony read. That's what Jesus does for each and every one of us. That's the hope that we have. That's the gospel, friends. That's the good news. And I hope it's good news for somebody this morning. I hope that as you think about it, each of you has a Lego piece. You know, this represents your life. Just, you know, hold it. Think about it. Think about your life. Some of us feel broken and disconnected, don't we? We feel like I don't know where I belong. But I want you to know that there's a place for you. That in the cross, there's a place where we can all come together, where we can be fit together in beautiful and vibrant harmonies because of Jesus Christ and because of what he did on the cross. We sum it up like this. It's a definition of the gospel, of the good news. And I'd like it to become our creed. A creed is our statement of faith, something that we can know and memorize and learn together that summarizes what we believe as the assembly, the gathered people of Hartford City Church. So let's put it up. And this is what I want us to do. This is more now for me than just a definition. This, I think, is our creed at Hartford City Church, that God is restoring and renewing all things through Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live, died for our sins, rose again to give us eternal life, and continually empowers us through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What is our response to that? So if we know who Jesus is, that he's the image of God, he's the glory of God, he's love in action, that he's the creator and sustainer of life who holds all things together, that he's the Lord over everything, and we know what he does, that he brings all things together the way they're supposed to be, and we know how he does it, by his blood that was shed on the cross, then what is our response? Our response is what was read at the end. Then you stay grounded. Stay grounded in this hope. Stay grounded in this hope of the good news of the gospel. I'd like us to read it together. If you want, if this is something that you want to believe and build your life around, then I invite you, let's read this together. God is restoring and renewing all things through Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live, died for our sins, rose again to give us eternal life, and continually empowers us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, in this place, I want to thank you that you were glorified and that you were lifted up.